thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come to give you life and to give you life abundantly. And you know, you never just stop, because when you're reading this word here, you better just read the whole thing, you know. And I'm going to start off with a scripture in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. And the Bible says, in 1 Peter 5 and 6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." You know, every time where I get this feeling like I think I know more than somebody else, I think I know what God wants to do in my life. And you know, Brother Angelo said it a while ago, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had been called and he'd been in the ministry for his three-year ministry. He was 33 years old, or when he passed away, when he laid his life down for us. But he was praying, "God, if you can take this cup from me, please take it." And he asked his disciples to pray with him, and they fell asleep on him, and he was up there doing battle with the devil all on his own. "If you can take this cup from me, please take it away. If you can take this cup, if you can take this anxiety, if you can take this pain I'm feeling, if I don't have to do this, please don't let me do it." But then the key line, see, like some people would say, well, Jesus was ready to give up. He was ready to give up on us and not die for us. But if you follow through, he said, "But nevertheless, not what I want to do, but what you want me to do, Father." And see, some of us are at points where God's calling us to do something. God's speaking into our life to come out of the box, to get more of this word in us, to get more of this knowledge in us, to be able to put some verses together to share with somebody. I mean, you'll never be used by somebody if the word of God's not inside of you. And you know, I mean, I got a friend at work that I'm always sharing whatever words come up with me on his situation. And I just texted him last night just because I ran across his number on the phone looking for a number. And he was still up. And I just started speaking Bible verses, you know. And he's believing God for something. He's been believing God for something for 15, 16 months. And he's not real big on divorce, and his wife left him. He's still saying he don't know if he's supposed to divorce her or not. He's believing God for her to come back. Now, I have my own opinions, but I keep my own opinions to myself, because I'm a member of the He-Man Woman Hater Club, and if a woman jacks a guy around, I'll vote against him in a heartbeat, you know? But when I started voting against this woman, I noticed that he would get irritated because he loved her with all of his heart. When he married her, he was serious about those vows. And see, when you come to Christ and accept Christ as your Savior, God was very serious about those vows. He was very serious about the blood he shed so that we could be born again. Amen? And he's expected a seriousness from us. When Pastor Kelly was preaching this morning, you know, my toes, I had to change shoes, or so I had to go home and clean my shoes off, because, man, that was all over me. Because I know that there's areas in my life I need to fix. There's lots of areas in my life. I know that this word right here, humble yourself in the sight of God, and he will exalt you in due season. Everybody wants to be exalted. You know, the Bible says that he that exalts himself will be abased. So we better make sure we're humbling ourselves on whatever we're doing. And I think it's not really necessarily because I don't want to do what I want to do as much as I want to do what God wants to do. Amen? In Psalm 16 and 11, and this scripture God gave me a long, long time ago. I had some kids and I hadn't seen them, and God made a way for them to come. And in Psalm 16 and verse 11, God gave me this verse. And he said, and they were coming and I was excited. I hadn't seen them and I didn't know what was going to happen and all that. And God gave me this verse and he says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." See, a lot of people, like, I went on and just wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I figured God was good with that because that's what I did in my unsaved life, and I made decisions against the word of God, and they didn't work out. I didn't have a lot of joy. But if God loves us so much that he died for us, and he said this, and Jesus is supposed to be our example, "Nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done." All we have to do is ask him. God makes known to us the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. That sounds like God don't want to take nothing from you. God's ready to give you the right thing. When you're ready to get into a wrong relationship, God's got somebody that's planning on sticking by your side forever and ever. Case in point, Sister Millie and Brother Angelo, all of them years they've been married, I can't count because I've never been married that long, but I'm hoping this marriage I'm in now, I believe I'm going to be married that long. And I don't know about all the years, but I know that until death do you part, that's part of those vows. And I'm pretty sure that I don't want to go through that again. I think I can just behave and, you know, do the right thing. Amen? So, in God, his path of life, in his presence, man, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. The one thing I don't have to seek the Lord about is because God put me in this church 33 years ago in 1992 in the springtime. I was going to Central Assembly of God, which is Lighthouse Tabernacle, and I was married to a lady, and she wound up over here, and I came over here, and Brother Emmett was preaching, and he spoke some words to me over there. I gave my last $5 in an offering, and Brother Emmett told me, you will never lack for money if you'll just do what God tells you to do. And I was telling Dwayne, I was telling somebody this, when I don't do what God tells me to do, there's a little friction in my life, and God will get my attention one way or the other way. But every time I just do what God tells me to do, every time I seek the Word and do the Word, I come out on top. Amen? And Acts 3 and verse 19. I can turn here because I got it marked. The Bible says, remember the scripture, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due season. The Word of God says right here, repent ye therefore and be converted or be forgiven, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Has anybody ever felt that anxiety? Pastor Kelly was just talking to Sister Bella about that anxiety. Because see, the devil will make you think, you know, you'll be one of the richest people, the next person that's going to be a millionaire. And God's got the plan, and the devil will come and try to steal that from you, come and try to talk you out of that. God will give you a plan to be a doctor, a lawyer, a preacher, a nurse. And you know, the Bible says that the devil comes immediately to steal the word. And see, this Bible is full of promises. I'm going to just give you a couple of them. In Philippians 4 and 13, it says, therefore, through Christ, who strengthens me, I can do all things. Therefore, through Christ, which the word Christ means the anointed one, or the anointing. Therefore, through the anointing, or the presence of God, whatever God tells me I can do, I can do. Now, God put it in my heart to be a real estate agent, and what I've never not wanted to be a real estate agent. I never said to myself, I'm going to quit being a real estate agent. And God called me to work at Walmart DC, and I believe it was 31 years ago, this August 15th or 16th, 31 years, it'd be going on the 32nd year. I was in church like in 1992, so that was 1995, and I did 2.5 years at Cloy's Gear at that time, smelling like grease. And you come home and you take a bath and you use the woman's skin lotion and you still smell the grease through there. You try to get that grease out of you. After a few years of that, I wanted to go somewhere and work. And they put you on a little piece of machine and you're driving around. For the last 31 years, I've been driving around, dropping groceries off, preaching to people, praying for people, talking to people, and enjoying life. And they've been giving me a check paycheck every 2 weeks. And all I've had to do is show up for work. If I don't show up for work, you're not getting paid, you know. But just showing up for work, and all you have to do is be able to breathe on a mirror, and if there's a little bit of a breath in you, you meet the requirements. Ain't that what you got to do to be a holler, Paul? One of the bosses said he could take a monkey and train him how to haul when I first started. And I thought I was all of this, you know, way up here, and that humbled me real quick, you know. That's why I called him No Mercy Cursey too, though, you know. He had no mercy. So the Lord wants us to be in a time of refreshing from his presence. as you're going through something and you're wondering, what job should I step out? Where should I be? If you're going to get married, you know, God, send me the right one next time. I don't want no problems. If you're believing God for a restoration, God, give me a restoration. Help me, God. It's, you know, the devil wants you to think that it's all the other person's fault. It took me a lot of years when I figured out the reason my first wife loved me, that you can't be knocking people in the head that you're married to, you know, and threatening them and stuff like that. But when I went there and repented to her for being a deadbeat dad at my nephew's funeral that I preached, and I kept hearing his voice, repent to her for not being who you were supposed to be. Don't worry about who she was supposed to be. This is all about you now. And when I did that, there was the presence for the joy of the Lord. There was a refreshing in me. I came back and I preached better. I came back and it was like I had a $300 pair of Michael Jordan shoes on, and I was walking in a spirit of integrity and better. And you know, sometimes that feeling will stay with you if you keep making these right decisions. But I know when I first heard God telling me to repent to her, I was thinking it was the devil. But then I realized, no, you know, this is probably God. I better roll with this. And when I did it, the next thing I know, kids were calling me from California and saying, yeah, I heard you did this to my mom. And I always wondered about that. How can you be a preacher and, you know, not confess your part of it? So see, whatever God tells you to do, he's got a plan of restoration, whether it's with your kids. He's got a plan to use you in a greater measure. Amen? Amen. And I'm going to go to an example in Hosea 4 and verse 6. We were talking about the Word of God, you know. How much of the Word of God do you know? Because I'll be talking to people and verses will just start rolling out of me. And I heard Brother Angelo talk about his experience when he got born again, that he would go to his room and he would read the Bible. And whether I've read the Bible or whether I've been back there looking like I'm dozing off or dozing off, the Word of God has been flowing from whoever's speaking or whoever's preaching and going into my spirit. Whether I've got a thing on the phone or a tape in and they're preaching, or a CD on the way to work and they're preaching, the Word of God has been flowing in me. And I'll be somebody to come up and want prayer, and these verses will just flow out of me. And I'll just start quoting them and remembering where they're at. But that's got to be in you, to be instant, in season and out of season. You know, like I got these few verses wrote down. But to be instant, in season and out of season, you got to have that word inside you. Amen? Amen? My people. You know, this doesn't say the people that don't know Jesus. This is God saying my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of God, I will also ignore your children. But really, God's people are destroyed. Our God's people are in a spirit of poverty. Our God's people are in spirits of addiction. Our God's people are full of depression because they don't take the time to see what God's promised them and put God's word in our heart. Amen? Isaiah 41, verse 10. There's a couple of verses I got that's like my favorites. Isaiah 41:10 is one. And really, so many verses stand out. Fear thou not. Remember this verse. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. The word sound mind, you know, you could say that with just getting self-control. A spirit of self-control. If you have a sound mind, you can say no to the devil and yes to God. You can say no to addictions and yes to God. Will there be a struggle? There seems like there's always a struggle whenever the devil's involved. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So the first thing God says here in 41:10 is, fear thou not. Why? Because I am with you. Be not dismayed. Don't be confused. Don't be anxious. Don't be depressed. I am thy God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. You go on to read a little more. Behold, all they that were incensed against you shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. You shall look for them and not find them. Even them that contended with you, that war against you, shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. Verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, for I am with thee. You know, if God's with you, who could be against you? If God be for you, who could be against us? Amen? So you're having a problem in your finances, Philippians 4:13. Paul's saying this, you know, whether I, in verse 12, whether I have a lot or whether I have a little, I have learned to be content. For therefore, through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. In other words, if you ain't got a lot right now, God's not going to let you starve to death. He's going to keep you alive until you got a lot. And whenever something looks like it's little in my life, I have to come back to God and humble myself and say, God, forgive me. I know I missed it somewhere because I know that you have a plan for my life where I have more than enough, where I have enough to give, where I have enough to sow, where I have enough to help people out. And God's always got something for you. Every day I wake up, this is what I said last week. I said, I started speaking Sunday night into my life that this was going to be the best week ever, that I was going to have the best sales ever. And, you know, it didn't take much to have the best sales ever because I had no sales the week before, and I had one sale with Brother Dwayne this week. So, to me, that was the best week ever. Amen? From zero to at least one. Now, I'm getting up and saying right now in church, this is going to be a better week than last week. Because everything that I got going is going to close this week and next week. So I got two deals going, and that's better than zero. Amen? Philippians 4, verse 19, I'm always quoting this, and it just always comes forth because I've heard Brother Angelo quote it for all these years that I've been in church with him. 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches, or the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Once again, God wants to meet all of your needs. God wants to supply you for the best for your kids. He wants to supply you with your rent money. He wants to give you everything you need for success and for life. Amen?
Amen.
In Hebrews 13, and I was going to read 1 through 7, and then I was going to read 8. Everybody, you know, the Bible says that he that's faithful with little, God will make you ruler over much. I've been telling Dwayne, you have to learn to minister where you're at in your church. You know, sometimes you may be doing a job with somebody. I mean, I have people come up to me at work all the time. I have people text me and tell me that somebody's in the hospital. But wherever I'm at, I'm always praying for somebody. Somebody come in the store the other day and I was doing something, but I listened to him and I laid hands on him and I prayed, you know? And being instant in season and out of season, it's more of a lifestyle, you know? And you have to just be ready to, you can't just rush people off when they're coming to you telling you their problems. But in a quick way, sometimes you can say, hey, I got to go, but let's pray about this. Let me pray. And then a Bible verse will always come up to me. You know, sometimes it's dumb questions like, man, I got this chance to get another job, but I got a job here, and I don't know if my wife should take this job or keep driving to Ozark. Well, if the job here is going to pay more money and you don't have to run your gas out and run your tires out, to me, God's already saying take the job where you don't have to travel as much, especially if it's going to snow 4 or 5 inches on the ground and you can't go to work. Amen? But I just prayed the best prayer for him and for wisdom and just asked God to help him. And sometimes only God only knows. You know that song, God Only Knows What You've Been Through? Sometimes people just know you're in church and they want to see what you're going to do. And the least we can do is pray. Amen? All right, in Hebrews 13, 1 through 7 says, let brotherly love continue, or let sisterly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. You know, there's angels all around us. There's people that God places in our life, and God's just seeing what are we going to do with them. And if you have a pocket full of money and only $20 might help meet their need, you know, even if you just had $20 and God tells you to give it, you just give it and do the best you can. Because you may be the only Jesus somebody's going to see this week. And God's just waiting. Because if you're not going to take care of the one person or an angel or a messenger of God or whoever God sends you, if you're not going to minister to the one person he sends you, it's going to be hard for him to send you to Africa to minister, a healing convention or something. Wherever you're at, God wants to use you. You can start right now wherever you're at, letting God use you. And all you have to do is say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I mean, when I was on the way to Arkansas, I thought, well, God, you might send me to Africa. I don't want to go to Africa. Man, God just sent me to Walmart, D.C. There's 700 people working over there. They send me to each different department. I worked in every different department, everywhere. Some girl came up to me at work the other day, and she goes, you don't remember probably, but 3 years ago when I first started, you prayed for me that God would help me keep this job. She goes, I've been sitting at that table asking God what I should do about something. I just need you to say either yes or no. And I said, well, I'm going to hang on for a minute. And I just felt in my spirit, just tell her yes, that her mind was already made up and she needed to hear a yes. Well, the next day, I thought maybe she was going to put in for a transfer or something or take the day. I didn't know what she wanted. The next day, I go in with the bosses and the guy tells me, well, that one girl said you prayed for her, and she said God wanted her to quit, so she quit the job. And I thought, well, she didn't tell me that she was praying about quitting the job. I might have voted on the no on that one, But then I found out that, they wouldn't give her no more a little lead way for her kids. She was an order filler, and her husband was working two jobs, and she couldn't come in at the time she wanted. So she just chose to stay home with her kids. And, and I think ultimately, if her husband's working two jobs, God's going to work that out. I'm just banking on it, But I've never had nobody do that. And then one of my friends said, the Bible says not to answer a matter quickly, to try to find out what the matter's about. I said, well, she wanted that answer quick, and she got it. And then she was already on enough points, like 6 points, 7 points, so they weren't going to give her no mercy anyway. So she sort of just, departed on her own, and they wind up stepping her out. So, I mean, ultimately, you just do what you believe God's telling you to do. And if you mess up, you ask God to forgive you. He'll give you another chance. He gives me another chance and another chance. But you try to do your best to get in God's presence. Amen? Try to have this word. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And if I don't really know what I'm talking about, I probably don't need to be talking. But I always try to get people Bible verses, and I always try to go with what their heart is, because I can't change their mind. This dude at work, his wife's been gone. It'll be going on a year and a half this spring, and she doesn't call him, but he's still paying for her phone, and she's still paying for his car insurance. So if that gives him hope, man, I'm just going to vote with him. Amen? I'm not going to go against his will or what he's believing for, because if I went against his will and then she showed up the next day, I'd be looking like a dummy. And really, I can't change somebody's mind. I can just try to support them where they're at. Amen? Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some entertain angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bonds with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I was telling Dwayne the other day, immorality is sin, or not being in marriage and partaking of things, or morality is things. And then there's immortality. I like the word, he used the Bible verse about God swallowing up immortality. I like to say God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or even think, according to his power that works in you. So it's got nothing to do with my power, but how much of this word is in my heart. In Psalms, there's a verse that says, I hid his word in my heart that I might not sin against him. So you got to know something. You got to know a little something to be rightly able to divide the word of truth. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, whether you have all the money you need, or whether you have the right job you need, or the right relationship, this is a powerful word. If you're standing with God and you're saved, and he'll never leave you or forsake you, I think I'd stick with God. I was telling Casey that I speak this Bible verse out on Facebook, and it may be in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. It says, I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings, and God signing this, I suggest you choose life and you choose blessings. You know, if God's putting that before us every day, and then he's putting this Bible verse, Ecclesiastes, I'm not positive on that, but it says, my mercies are renewed each morning. You know, each morning, no matter how bad I feel, no matter how I think I might have screwed up the day before, no matter if I said something to somebody and I believe I shouldn't have said that, his mercies are renewed each morning for me. So why can't my mercies be renewed for everybody else that I come into contact with, even those I may not agree with? Amen? And then Hebrews 13 and verse 8, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. God's placed Pastor Kelly as the pastor of this church. So if she asks me to do something, I try to do it. If I don't do it, I try to tell her as soon as it dries up, I'll get to it. I mean, Brother Angelo speaks into my life. I meet him a lot of times. And, you know, I told him one time, he goes, well, have I ever told you anything wrong? And I was in a foul, unchristian-like mood. And I said, well, 99% of the time, you're always right. And then after I thought about it a week later, I told him, I think about 100% of everything you've ever given me from the Word of God was right. I think I was wrong that day. And I knew I was wrong. And we were just talking about something in my own personal life. You know, if you'll be a man and just say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm going to do better. And you know, today I'm saying I'm sorry if I've ever said anything to hurt anybody's feelings, or if you ever seen me do something that wasn't right, I'm going to do better this year. You know, President Trump is making America greater, but Jesus Christ is making Samuel McElhaney better every day. The Holy Ghost is making Samuel McElhaney better. And if I'll be faithful with the little that he's given me to do, whether it's, man, one of my favorite jobs to do was as a deacon was take the trash out. Because when I came in this church 33 years ago in 1992, in the springtime, I had a lot of trash in my life. And I started thinking, what can I do? One time, Brother Angelo said he needed a musician or somebody to lead the praise and worship. And after talking with him, we voted that I had no musical experience. And my singing voice did not exactly fit the bill, but he found some things to do, you know. I mean, I started helping somebody mow the yard. I was push mowing this yard way before I ever had a mower, but taking the trash out, and I would take the trash out. We didn't even have the trash can back then. I would load it in my car, and I would find somebody's trash can, my good buddy Jeff Miller. Somebody, one time I filled it up, and his wife said, hey, who's putting all this trash in there, you know, and I think I did a little side job, but, you know, I mean, at Pizza Hut, the lady at Pizza Hut, she would say, go do it. I say, hey, I got a couple bags from the church. Of course, I'd buy a couple pizzas, you know, and you can't, if you're going to use somebody's trash, it's always nice to buy something from them and let them know about it because, you know, they can't put you in jail for that stuff. It's only trash. But God took the trash out of my own life several times. He showed me, look, you take the trash out from me, I'm helping you get the trash out of your life. It didn't happen overnight, but it happened. But there's a process. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hebrews 13:8. So those that have the rule over you, man, honor them. Give them respect. Because you want to be, you know, actually, I've always wanted to be like Brother Angelo. I've always wanted to be debt-free. I've always wanted to have a roll of money in my pocket. And I wanted to do the right thing. Now, I haven't always done the right thing, and I'm still working on the being debt-free thing. But, you know, to have a desire to do right is a good thing. Amen? In Numbers 23 and verse 19, this is my last scripture. Hebrews 13:8. Thank you, sir. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, there's a lot of doctrines about people believe that, oh, the prosperity message, that's just, you know. And, you know, I see all these things about Kenneth Copeland. He's got four or five planes, you know. Jesse's got a plane or two. These guys are in the ministry, going places, ministering for the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't have any planes, but, you know, if God would give me one, I guess I'd try to figure out how to fly it, but I probably need to learn how to drive a little better on the ground, you know. They have a channel now that shows all these planes that crash, and they got a little story about them. I was watching one this morning. Maybe that's why I couldn't sleep. The guy let his 8-year-old kid get behind the plane, and he was pushing it down, and these guys were standing up trying to figure it out. Well, you know, 70-something people on the plane, and his kids and everything else. This was in Russia, not in America, thank God. I'm pretty sure they don't let you bring your kids on the plane in America, but that was a tragedy. So if God ever gives me a plane, I'm going to have somebody fly it, you know, I would think. But if he just puts me on a plane and lets me buy some tickets and go somewhere sometime, that's really nice to me. So, amen? Amen. All right. The last verse is Numbers 23:19. And we talked about humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God that you may be exalted in due season. God is not human that he should lie. The first thing, if God says he'll meet all your needs, he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Or repent, in the King's English it says. So God don't repent. He don't lie. If he lies, he will self-destruct. I mean, his word is everything. So if he's told us he's going to meet our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, if he says in Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you ask or even think, according to your power, his power that works in you. That's his Holy Ghost. His Holy Ghost is here right now. His Holy Ghost was here during the praise and worship. His Holy Ghost is with you at all times. Whether you know it or acknowledge him or not, I try to talk to God all the time, and every time I listen to God, I come out on top. Every time I listen to God, I'm at the right place at the right time. There's some kind of sales, or there's some kind of ministry that I'm doing, or there's somebody that I'm praying for or speaking into their life. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? There's not one thing in the Bible that God's not told me he would do that he hasn't done in my life. Now, there's a lot of things God's told me to do that I didn't cooperate with, and they might not have happened. But I learned a long time ago by coming to church that when there's something going on, it's not God's fault, it's not my mom's fault, it's not my dad's fault, it's not my lawyer's fault, it's my fault. And if you'll humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you, he will forgive you. You know, his mercies are renewed each morning. Just think about that. There's people I know that if they jack me around more than 2 times, they're out of my life. 3 times, how's that? You'll give them the 1 chance, the 2nd chance, but 3 times, they're not getting no more chances. But God says, every morning, my mercies are renewed for his children. So I'm just going to turn this over to Brother A, if you want to close, or Pastor Kelly, but if anybody needs prayer. And I'm believing God that he's going to bless our finances. One of my prayers, you don't have to do the wallets, but it's that God brings the finances. He brings the relationships. He brings the, you know, if we need a relationship restored, whether it's with kids, whether it's with family members, God brings the finances from the east, west, south, and north. Now, I might not have said that right. My mother always says you got to say north, east, west, south. However it's supposed to have been said on the books, I just say it the way, and I told her one day, now I said, God's bringing money to you from the north, south, east, and west. The last time, and there came a check from Illinois, where my dad used to work, with some profit sharing interest that he didn't know nothing about. So I said, you know, I'm just praying, you know, if the money comes, what difference does it matter if I say south, north, east, or west? But there is a proper way to say it, so you know, I'll put that down too. I probably need to study that out a little more. But whatever you guys, I'm just going to say a general prayer right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, does anybody got any needs they need God to take care of? Does anybody want more of God's presence and God's spirit in your personal life? Does anybody want to just say to God, God, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done in my life? We did that this morning, but I want more of God's spirit, his assuring spirit, to just come on to me to where I don't have to doubt, or I don't say, are you sure, God? I just want to do what God tells me. And I'm going to pray right now. Lord, I just release the financial anointing upon everyone that's here. Lord, that you're going to more than meet needs. That finances are going to come from the east, west, south, and north, Lord. And they're going to come to their address, to their personal accounts, to their finances. And Lord, you're going to release an anointing from the presence of God, Lord, to just give them the fullness of joy that they need every moment of this week, Lord. And you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Thank you, God, that we are not a people that's going to be destroyed, but we are a people that is going to be full of your knowledge. And this year, this week, is going to start the best year of our lives, the most prosperous year of our life, the most healed year of our lives, Lord. No sickness comes on us, Lord God, and healing flows through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody else want to share, Pastor Kelly?